ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रील प्रभुपाद लीलामृत न्यू जगन्नाथपुरी। Mukunda, although we had heard Swamiji play different drums before and some of us had played along with him, when he played the clay mridanga from India, it was a completely different feeling. The feeling it created was akin to seeing an old friend after many, many years. It was so right and so natural. It was the very thing our kirtana had been missing, and it increased our feelings of ecstasy many times over. Obviously, Swamiji was in greater ecstasy than ever. You could sense by the way he held the drum, by the ease with which he brought out its intricate rhythms to control the kirtan, that this drum was like a long-lost friend to him. Swamiji playing the drum was the talk of the community. Now we knew what kirtana really was, how it was supposed to sound, what it was really like. Initially when Srila Prabhupada was there in New York and all, so that time there were no formal mridanga kartal and all, because Prabhupada did not carry mridanga, but kartal he had. So Mukunda Maharaj, he was by nature, he was a musician. He used to work in a nightclub, you know, playing guitar and all. So many devotees, they used to carry their own instruments. Srila Prabhupada allowed everybody to take part in the kirtan by playing by their own instruments. So later on Prabhupada actually imported this mridanga, and Srila Prabhupada was a very expert musician. Prabhupada was very expert in playing harmonium. Later on Srila Prabhupada, once he was telling Shrutakirti Prabhu that seeing him play harmonium, one of his friend's sister, she became very attracted to Prabhupada that time. So that time, by that time Prabhupada was already married. So then Prabhupada also liked her, because Prabhupada did not like his wife, right? Because without his consent, you know, just when they were children only they got married. So later on Srila Prabhupada's father, then that time of course bigamy is allowed. One can have many wives. Only in, after 1947 bigamy was made criminal, right? But otherwise previously everybody used to have, many people they used to have more than one wife. So Srila Prabhupada wanted to have one more wife. Then Srila Bhakti, Prabhupada's father told him, it's very good that you don't like your wife. When it comes to leaving her, it is easy for you. Otherwise, you know, like that. That is why, but Prabhupada, then Prabhupada's mother, he wanted him to go to London and study Barrett Law. That time there is, you know, Barrett Law. Right? They say there were only two Indian magistrates were there during British rule. You know that? One was Sir C.R. Das, Chittaranjan Das. Another was? Sri Kedarnath Datta. Right? Prabhupada said, Britishers, they used to be afraid of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, because he was so intelligent that if this personality comes into freedom movement, we would have to go. He was so intelligent. Like that. So Prabhupada's father, he was insistent, what is the use of sending him to London and associate with Mlechas and Yavanas? You know, I want my son to learn mridanga, you know, harmonium, kartal, you know, and become a servant of Srimati Radharani. So later on, if you watched a video, there is one video where Srila Prabhupada was recording, you know, some bhajans. You know, anybody watched? Then Prabhupada was saying, my father wanted me to become like this. Like this. See, Prabhupada was expert. Mridanga player, expert kirtankar. And when Prabhupada would sing, people would run, go into ecstasy. Like that. Right? But nowadays, we sing so many tunes. But Prabhupada used to sing only one tune. Right? Only one tune. Like that. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to discourage devotees to learn harmonium. Because in Kali Yuga, if a devotee becomes a very good musician, he will fall down with the woman. It will attract, women will become attracted to musicians. That is why he was not so much encouraging devotees to learn harmonium. Like that. But Srila Prabhupada was, he was very insistent that when Kirtan was there, you know, Kartal and Mridanga, and only, but only when for singing bhajan, they used to use harmonium. Like that. So, Prabhupada was expert. Right? A devotee means, one of the qualities is of a devotee, 26 qualities of a devotee. One of them was expert. So Prabhupada was expert in writing, Prabhupada was expert in speaking, Prabhupada was expert in playing mridanga, kartal, harmonium, singing. He was expert in deity worship, he was expert in everything. Right? Prabhupada was the center of attraction. Even his age and dress made him prominent. Whereas the others in the park were mostly young people dressed in denims or various hippie costumes. Prabhupada was 70 and distinctly dressed in saffron robes. And the way the devotees had all cheered and bowed before him and were now looking at him so lovingly caused onlookers to regard him with curiosity and respect. As soon as he had sat down, some young children had gathered in close to him. He had smiled at them, deftly playing the mridanga, enthralling and entertaining them with his playing. Govindasi. With Swamiji's arrival, there was a mastery and an authority about the whole kirtan that was absent before. We were no longer kids in San Francisco chanting Hare Krishna. Now we had historical depth and meaning. Now the kirtan had credentials. His presence established the ancient historical quality of the chanting. When Swamiji came, the whole disciplic succession came. After an hour of chanting, Prabhupada stopped the kirtan and addressed the crowd. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. This is the sound vibration, and it is to be understood that sound vibration is transcendental. And because it is transcendental vibration, therefore it appeals to everyone, even without understanding the language of the sound. This is the beauty. Even children can respond to it. After speaking 5 minutes, Prabhupada began the kirtan again. One woman with long, uncombed red hair began dancing back and forth and chanting her baby in her arms. A man and woman sitting side by side played together on the beads on the heads of a pair of bongos. Subala, in tight corduroy pants and a flowing white shirt, danced in a semblance of the step Swamiji had shown him. Although Subala looked somewhat like an American Indian dancer. A little girl, no more than 4 years old, sat cross-legged, playing kartals and chanting seriously. A suave-looking fellow wearing a vest and round sunglasses played castanets against his palm. Ravindra Sarupa sat rocking back and forth as he played the drone on the harmonium. Beside him, Hayagriva chanted forcefully, his head and upper body lunging forward and back, his long hair and beard jutting out wildly. While nearby, a girl stood with her right arm around one boy and her left arm around another, all three of them swaying back and forth, singing with peaceful, blissful smiles, enjoying the chanting and the sunshine. One girl sat silently meditating, while beside her, a girl danced provocatively, and a five-year-old beside the dancing girl played with two balloons. Prabhupada set his mridanga aside and stood, playing kartals and swaying among the dancers, his feet moving in a stately measure. A big black man danced nearby, facing his white girlfriend, both of them moving as if they were at the Avalon. The girl shook her body and head in wild abandon, and her long straight hair completely covered her face. Bright blondie Nandarani stood on Prabhupada's right, playing kartals. Sometimes Prabhupada stopped singing and simply observed the scene, his mouth closed in a stern yet sublimely tolerant expression. Some of the young people joined hands, forming a circle, and began to dance around and around in front of the Swamiji. Then they encircled him, and as he looked on, still swaying and now clapping solemnly, they danced around him, hand in hand, jumping and wriggling and chanting Hare Krishna. The soft pink hue of his khadi robes, contrasting with the fried dress of the hippies, Swamiji looked unusual and wonderful, watching and solemnly sanctioning the kirtana performance. The dancing was free form and sensuous, but that was the way these young people expressed their feelings through their bodies. They bounced and bounded into the air. Sometimes the circle of dancers would break and become a single line, waving in and out among the people sitting on the grass, in and out among the silk flags. A muscular boy held the hand of a girl wearing dark braids and black headband in American Indian style. At the end of the line, a boy held a girl's hand with his left hand, while with his right he held a wooden recorder to his mouth and tooted as he weaved in and out of the crowd. In the beginning, New York devotees and West Coast. New York is on East Coast and San Francisco on West Coast. So the San Francisco devotees are considered more liberal, more free, and New York devotees are considered very conservative. So in the beginning, there only Swami step was there, saying left and right like that. Madhudvish Maharaj, recently who left his body, he was narrating one pastime that once one Indian lady, some Shamarani or somebody, along with her disciples, she came to meet Prabhupada. At that time there was no mridanga and all. So they brought mridanga and all. And then she was singing very nicely. And then Prabhupada, everybody was sitting there. And there was kirtan was going on. And suddenly Srila Prabhupada got up. Then he started dancing. And then he started jumping up and down. Prabhupada started jumping up and down. And that day, all the disciples, they didn't know that you can jump up and down, because the only conservative style, right? And then all the disciples, they saw Prabhupada chanting, dancing up and down and all. Then all the disciples, Madhudvisha Prabhu and all, they also joined. They also started chanting and jumping up and down. There was a tumultuous kirtan and kirtan chanting and dancing. Then meanwhile, that lady, she started dancing. Then along with her disciples, they also started dancing. Then they saw, Prabhupada did not say anything because all the Matas, they thought they also can dance. They also started dancing. And it was a huge... Then Madhudvishmara Prabhupada says that after this, then they informed everybody, New York, everywhere, that Swamiji was dancing like this. Then he wrote that after this, ISKCON kirtans are never been the same. like wild dancing and all this started. Like once in Australia, once one person, they were, the whole movement was built in early 60s. Whole movement was built on Hari Kirtan. You know, Hari Kirtan. Every day they would go out and chant. Tamal Krishna Maharaj, in order to run the temple, Tamal Krishna Maharaj and Vishnujan Maharaj, they used to work in a factory, earning some $9 or some $8 per day or something. And they used to give that money to temple. Prabhupada always used to say that Tamal Krishna Maharaj is a very intelligent person, very good manager. She said, Are, why am I struggling? Kodak, I think, in Kodak photography factory, he used to work, Maharaj. Then he organized a kirtan. You know, well ironed clothes, you know, everybody, you know, very nicely shaved, and tilak, and he made a pattern. You know, some devotees, you know, would go in, you know, they sing in dance in a particular way. So he organized for the first time. Otherwise, like that. So that's how these street kirtans have started, you know, in the San Francisco. That people would, they come, and then people are very attracted to this, you know, style of chanting and dancing. Then they were collecting more dollars. So then Tamal Krishna Maharaj wrote to Prabhupada. Prabhupada is like this, like this. Should I leave the job? Prabhupada said, yeah, why not? Leave the job. So they left the job. And they were, every day they were, you know, doing this kirtan. Like that. So, the whole movement is spread by book distribution and Harinam Sankirtan. So previously, till 1972, there were no big book distribution. They were only, so they would go for Harinam Sankirtan and they would distribute only Back to Godhead magazines. They didn't know how to distribute big books like that. So once in Australia, one person, he saw every station they would go and you know, do kirtan. So in the morning, at one station, he saw devotees chanting Hare Krishna. He liked the kirtan very much. Then he stood there and he watched. Then he was enjoying. Then he went. After some time, he had to go somewhere. And then during lunch time, after 2-3 hours, he went to one station. There he saw again devotees chanting and dancing. You know? Then he liked it very much. Then he enjoyed it. Then again after 3-4 hours he went to some other station. There again he saw some devotees chanting and dancing. He liked it very much. Then while coming in back in the evening, again he saw devotees chanting and dancing. Same tune, same, you know, thing. And then he asked, who, since morning you are singing the same song, you don't get bored? Because they have in the railway, these radio stations and all, you know, of course in India, Binaka Gitmala used to come 30 years back. So they have to change the songs, you know. This week top 10, then last, then next week all these previous top 10s will go. And then some other songs will come. Right? So you don't get bored. Like that. There is one beautiful lady, she also became very attracted to the street chanting. You know, street chanting. Then she liked it very much, and then they used to distribute, you know, cards, Sunday Love Feast. So they given her a card, you know, she attended, then she started attending and all. Then how, you know, devotees, then she was a film actress, you know. So then she felt pressurized because they would tell her, you know, you put tilak, you wear sadi, this, that. And she got a little bit fried. And then she stopped coming. So one day, she tried to, she told the devotees that I am going to Los Angeles to try my luck in Hollywood. Oh, is it? Then some devotees, they said, oh, Prabhupada was there. We made some special gifts for Prabhupada. Can you hand over the gift to Prabhupada? She said, no problem. Then she went to Hollywood and all. She didn't click. So one day she went to meet Prabhupada, you know, to give the gift. So Prabhupada, then she was speaking to Prabhupada, then after that she never went out. Till now she is still with movement. That day only she joined. You know, her name is Jagat Tarini Mataji, Burijan Prabhu's wife. Like that. Like this, so many devotees joined Hare Krishna movement by participating in street kirtans, Harinam Sankirtan. Right? Nowadays, well, last time when we went to, I was there in New York, even San Francisco also, when we went for some kirtan, some shopkeepers and all, they would ask, where were you? Why you don't come? Everybody used to like Harinam Sankirtan. Now they don't go so much. Every day they used to go. Now, once in a week, right? Even in Mumbai also, when I joined, every Wednesday we used to go for Harinam Sankirtan. Now, still they are going? Wednesday. So, Sunday, that Prabhu takes Raghava Goswami. Raghava Goswami? So, he takes and none of us we go, brahmacharis. Only congregation they go. But previously, every Wednesday we used to go different areas. Sometimes we used to go to downtown also, Kalba Devi, Nariman Point, you know, all that stuff. Now it's all gone. So Prabhupada said, if these three things are going on, that means temple is managed nicely. Right? Harinam Sankirtan, Prasad distribution and book distribution. If these three things go on very nicely in any temple, that means temple is managed nicely. Prabhupada became tired and sat beside the brass bottomed timpani. Singing and playing kartals, he sat grave and straight like an ancient sage. Nearby, a blondie woman sat in yogic posture, bending her body forward until her forehead touched the ground again and again in supplication or exhibition. Another girl stretched out her hands imploringly in a mixed expression of inner feelings, physical and spiritual, while her golden earrings jangled. A Mexican in a checkered shirt beat a tom-tom. A white sheep dog wandered from person to person. Swamiji looked kind and amused. The hippies found him beautiful. He remained gentlemanly, aloof, amid the twisting, shaking, rocking, dancing young people. Amid their most sensual movements, he appeared not at all like them, for he moved in a stately, elderly way. All the Matajis, they describe Prabhupada as a very beautiful and handsome person. But at that time he was 70 years old. One young girl proposed to Srila Prabhupada, I want to marry you. Srila Prabhupada said, I am a sannyasi, I cannot marry. No, I want to marry you. You know, she became so attracted to Srila Prabhupada. Like that. So, I don't know whether I told this, Achyutananda Prabhu, he was writing this, that he was, before joining Hare Krishna, he was practicing Kundalini Yoga. Kundalini Yoga. Somehow he was trying and then he was not successful. Then this Kundalini Yoga has to be performed, has to be practiced under the guidance of a expert spiritual master. So then what happened? He saw, one day he was walking by 22nd Avenue, then he heard some kartal sound and all. So he became very attracted, chanting and kirtan and all. Then, what is this? Then he was seeing through glass, you know, window, you know, like what is happening and all. So then one devotee came out, then Achyutananda asked something. Oh pilgrim, your journey has ended. You know, that means now you have reached your final destination. Then later on he started coming, and then that time Prabhupada was there. Then he was, you know, chanting. Then he liked it very much. Then he started coming. Then he was thinking, he liked Prabhupada very much. You know, like he was looking like a great sage and all. Then he was giving kirtan and all, lecture is going on. Then he asked Brahmanand Prabhu, Now, is he going to teach meditation? Is he going to teach meditation? Brahmananda Prabhu replied, never trust a sadhu who is not dancing. Right? You understand? Huh? Anybody understands? What does this mean? Never trust a sadhu who is not dancing. Who can tell the purport? What does that mean? Never trust a sadhu who is not dancing. So meaning of this is that in the Kali Yuga, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Acharya. You know, he is the one who gave the latest method to achieve perfection in Krishna consciousness. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the one who introduced this chanting and dancing. Right? Any sadhu who is teaching any meditation or yoga, that means he is bogus. Right? You understand now? Any sadhu who is teaching anything else other than chanting and dancing, he is a bogus. He won't achieve perfection by following that method. Right? Later on. So, this is what Prabhupada introduced. Simply by, don't think, you know, this chanting and dancing, you have to do anything else other than this chanting and dancing. So later on, some devotees were thinking, oh, we have to read, they have formed some Gopi Bhav club. You know, they thought Prabhupada's teachings are not enough. You know, they thought they have to read highly esoteric literatures and all. So Prabhupada said, don't think this chanting and dancing will not make you perfect. Enough. This chanting and dancing is enough. Later on, Achyutananda Prabhu, then he started coming and all. Then this Sunday love feast, very famous. Then after honoring one Sunday love feast, then he added one sentence. You know, he made one statement. Right? Never trust a sadhu who is not enjoying Mahaprasad. Right? Like that. So this chanting, dancing, and after that, become tired, and then eat till the neck. That's why we are all suffering from diabetes, heart problem. Because ek glass har din, every day, one glass sweet rice. छत पे जाके खाते थे सीक्रेटली. आई वॉज सो लकी राइट फ्रॉम द डे वन. नाउडेज डिवोटीज दे स्ट्रगल टू गेट वन प्लेट ऑफ महाप्रसाद. सो आई वॉज सो लकी वन डे आई वॉज राइट फ्रॉम द फर्स्ट डे एवरी डे आई यूज टू गेट महाप्रसाद प्लेट बिकॉज देर इज वन बॉय यूज टू बी देयर तेलुगु बॉय. वो उसको यूज टू वॉश किचन इन नो बर्तन. So he used to come to BI and made friendship with me, Telugu boy. So he was not eating Mahaprasad. He used to take only Nitaika Prasad. So that plate he used to give it to me. So one disciple, we were there with Bhaktisur Damodar Maharaj. One disciple complained that Ramrup eats too many sweets. Like that. He thought Maharaj would just say, yeah, you should eat. He's so thin, you should eat. Ramrup, you should eat 4 times in a day. Like that. So, Hare Krishna movement means chanting and dancing and feasting. Ekadasi. Amara Ekadasi feast. Previously, Jayadvat Maharaj was saying, Ekadasi means they used to look forward. Fruit salad, this, that. What? Ekadasi feast they used to make every time. Prabhupada says, what is this, you know, Ekadasi? Later on, of course, now in between, later we used to take prasad. Then our temple authorities thought, you know, we should perform some austerity. At least till 1 o'clock, you know, we should fast. Right? In between 1 o'clock they used to serve. But devotees can't stay. So they would go to life membership here and there and take anyway prasad. So temple management thought, anyway they are taking prasad, why not serve at 9 o'clock only? Like that. Swamiji looked, as he surveyed the activities in the meadow, he seemed deeply pleased to see the ring of dancers singing all around him, chanting Hare Krishna. Although the enthusiasm of these hippies was often wild and sensual, the gathering assumed a wholesome sweetness due to the chanting of Hare Krishna. For Swamiji, the main thing was that chanting was going on and on. Dressed in his saffron cloth that seemed to change colors subtly in the fading afternoon sunlight, he watched in a kindly, fatherly way, not imposing any restraint, but simply inviting everyone to chant Hare Krishna. So, this is Srila Prabhupada's secret of success. You know, according to the time, place and circumstance, he managed the things. Once, Srila Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, one Bengali sannyasi, Kodimat sannyasi, Prabhupada's godbrother, he came to meet Srila Prabhupada. Then Srila Prabhupada wanted him to take prasad. You know, wanted him to take prasad. He objected, he refused to take prasad. Oh, it is touched by mlechas and yavanas, I don't want to take. You know? So Srila Prabhupada felt very bad. You know, like that. So they didn't know that, you know, once you chant Hare Krishna, you know, then you are no longer a mlecha and yavana. Right? Yeah. So later on, Srila Prabhupada, he got a letter from that sannyasi saying that, you know, I am doing this so and so activity, I want some money. Can you give some money? Srila Prabhupada replied back saying that, you know, you cannot take them because these dollars are touched by my mlecha devotees. You know, he refused, he didn't give. Like that. So they were thinking, oh, these foreigners, you know, these Gaudimat people, they were thinking, oh, these foreigners, we, you know, they won't take. Yeah. Even now also some places, they won't take like that. But Srila Prabhupada was very broad-minded. You know, he is the one to give Brahman Diksha to ladies. You know, made them eligible to. Of course, in India we don't allow them, but they in the foreign countries they only dress the deities, they only cook pujaris, right? Initially, in the beginning, my Yashoda, Kaushalya Mataji and all, they were doing pujari service, Rafa Radha Rasbihari, right? So Prabhupada is very kind. He said, there is no difference, you know. Once Kaushalya Mataji and one more devotee, they arranged a pandal program for Prabhupada in Jaipur alone, single-handedly. Srila Prabhupada praised them very much. He liked it very much. He said, see, Indian girls, they cannot do this kind of activity. So these foreign women, they are very enterprising. So, right? So Prabhupada, that is why he was very successful in preaching. 25-year-old Linda Kaj was walking in the park when she heard the sound of the kirtan. In the crowd of hundreds of people gathered around the scene, Linda found it easy to go close without becoming conspicuous. She felt comfortable watching and even thought of joining the fun. Then she noticed the Swami leading the singing. She was startled, even a little frightened, having never before seen anyone so grave. He was striking, and the dancers appeared beautiful to her. A girl with arms upraised and eyes closed seemed to be swinging like a tree in the wind. Prabhupada, he was very smiling, at the same time he was very grave also. Once he called Jadurani Mataji and gave a picture of his old picture, and he told her to paint that picture. She commented that, Swamiji, you are looking very sad in this picture. Prabhupada replied back, no, it's not sad. It is a moment of ecstasy. Like that. A man and woman sitting side by side. And the dancers appeared beautiful to her. A girl with arms upraised and eyes closed seemed to be swinging like a tree in the wind. One of the men was tall and attractive, with golden curly hair. And Linda saw a boy she knew from college in New York. A crazy boy who always wore a shocking pink wool cap. Linda had arrived in San Francisco from New York only few days ago. She had no plans except study under a certain dance teacher and maybe get into some of the exciting things she had heard were going on in Haight-Ashbury. As a graduate student in ancient Greek literature at Columbia University, Linda had become attracted to Socrates, who had lived and died for truth. But she hadn't found any one of her professors to be at all like Socrates. She had envisioned herself living a life of truth by pursuing scholarship, but it had become dry. The ancient civilization of Greece was a dead idea, not a living truth. It didn't touch the heart. She had been aching for a new, exciting experience, and she was ready to throw herself into San Francisco's hippie society. She had come here alone, giving up her fashionable clothes and donning a bell-bottoms and old shirts. But because she wanted to be serious, she felt awkward trying to fit in with hippies. She felt that to belong to, she was supposed to wipe the serious look off her face and just smile mindlessly. So even in the society of San Francisco's hippies, she remained unsatisfied and lost. The Kirtana in the park was the most beautiful sight Linda had ever seen. The dancers were swaying back and forth, their arms raised against the open sky, and in the middle of the dance was a dark, grey-haired, wise person sitting and chanting. As she moved in closer, she began to sway with the devotees. Then she sat down and started chanting, wanting to find out what was going on. After more than an hour of chanting, the elderly leader finally stopped the kirtan and Linda began talking to some of the devotees. Although the Swami had slipped away, some of his followers had remained, handing out flyers and invitations to the Sunday love feast and picking up the timpani and the flags. One of them asked her to come with them to the temple. Linda found the devotees to be something like hippies, but not scruffy street people like most of the hippies she had met. They were attractive, not repellent. Madrasas and plant decorated their little storefront temple. When she stopped before painting of people singing and dancing, one of the devotees said, "This is Lord Chaitanya and his associates." A devotee gave her some prasadam and Linda left that night without meeting the Swami. The next day, however, at 7 in the morning, she returned, eager for another chance to see him. She thought he had noticed her at the park and might remember her. She had made a drawing of him and she wanted to show him. That morning, as Prabhupada chanted prayers and led kirtan, Linda did not take her eyes off him. And when he asked everyone to chant Hare Krishna with him on beads, she excitedly accepted a strand from one of the devotees and tried to chant like him. Then he began reading the Sanskrit verse to begin his lecture, and Linda was captivated by the sound. If she were to continue with her graduate program in Greek, she would study Sanskrit next. So she listened with keen interest, proud that perhaps no one else in the room could understand as well as she. Later that same morning, she met Srila Prabhupada upstairs in his apartment. "Linda, in the afternoon, in the first conversation I had with him, Swamiji summed up Greek civilization for me in a couple of sentences. He explained that Srimad Bhagavatam was the source of the stories like the Iliad and the Odyssey, and was the source of Platonic philosophy. I was thrilled. Of course, I believed him. I knew that whatever he was speaking was the truth. There was no doubt in my mind, and he didn't discourage my love for Socrates. He told me that Socrates was actually devotee in disguise. Then he began telling me the story of Krishna as the butter thief And I said, oh yes, I know that story. I saw a dance about Krishna as a butter thief. He was very pleased and he laughed. He said, oh yes, you know. This encounter with Swamiji was like meeting an old friend, because I felt completely at home and protected. And I felt I had found what I was looking for. Here I could use my intelligence and ask the questions I had always wanted to ask in school. Prabhupada initiated Linda, giving her the name Leelavati. Seeing her eagerness to serve him personally, he decided to teach her to cook by having her prepare his lunch. He already had a little weekend cooking class in which he taught Janaki, Govindasi, Nandrani and others the art of cooking for Krishna. Now he invited Leelavati to come. He would walk back and forth in the small room, showing the girls how to knead dough, cook chapatis and measure spices in the right palm, and cut vegetables and cook them in ghee with masala. The foods were basic, rice, chapatis, cauliflower with potatoes, but he wanted to teach the girls precisely how to cook. Mukunda, one day, just out of the curiosity, I went to witness Swamiji's cooking classes. So I came in and stood at the doorway to Swamiji's kitchen. The women were there learning how to cook, and Swamiji said to me, what are you doing? Oh, I said, I just came to see my wife. Then Swamiji said, are you going back to Godhead or back to wife? Everyone was amused and I realized I wasn't welcome, so I left. The incident made me reflect on Swamiji's seriousness. For one thing, I learned that I should not be attached to my wife. And secondly, I learned that his relationship with the woman and what he was teaching them was actually very sacred, not like the sometimes frivolous association between husband and wife. Because he spent many hours in the kitchen teaching them, they are very inspired. Leelavati tended to be proud. Many of the devotees were not college graduates and none of them were classical scholars. She sometimes typed for Swamiji, did his wash or brought flowers in his room in the morning. And he had quickly chosen her to be his exclusive cook. After only a few days of cooking lessons, Swamiji had told her, all right, you cook. And now he came in only occasionally to check on her. Once when he saw her rolling chapatis, he said, oh, you have learned very nicely. Preparing Swamiji's meals was just right, with the proper spicing, without burning anything, and on time was a challenge. By the time Leelavati finished, she would be perspiring and even crying from tension. But when she brought in with lunch, he would ask her to bring an empty plate and he would serve her portions from his own plate and invite her to eat with him. For the first few days, Leelavati made remarks about the wonderful taste of prasadam and Swamiji would smile or raise his eyebrows. But then she noticed that he never spoke while eating but seemed to be concentrating intensely as he sat cross-legged, bending his body over the plate of prasadam and eating with his right hand. One day, on Ekadasi, Leelavati arrived late at Swamiji's apartment, thinking there would not be much cooking on a fast day. But when she entered the kitchen, she found Swamiji himself busily cooking. He was eating something while in the skillet, vigorously stirring and scraping it from bottom of the pan. Oh, he said, I was just wondering, where is that girl? Leelavati was too shy to ask what Swamiji was doing, so she simply busied herself cutting vegetables. Today is a fast day, she said, as if chiding Swamiji for cooking. You have to understand, he replied, in Krishna consciousness, a fast day means feast day. We are offering this to Krishna. Leelavati continued to keep her distance from Swamiji's whitish, stickly cooking preparation until he completed it and placed on the windowsill to cool. Later it will harden, he said, and we can cut it and serve it. And with what he turned out and walked to the kitchen. While Leelavati finished cooking and served Swamiji's Ekadasi lunch, he asked her to bring him some of that thing on the window sill. He took a bite, seemed pleased, and asked Leelavati to call Mukunda and Janaki to taste it. Janaki took a bite. Oh, it's wonderful. It is wonderful. Simply wonderful. Incredible. What is this? I don't know, Swamiji. Turning to Leelavati, Swamiji, what is this preparation? I don't know, Swamiji, she said. You don't know? He replied. You are standing right by me in the kitchen and you don't remember? Leelavati's face turned red. Oh, Swamiji, Leelavati replied, I was very busy, I just didn't see. Oh, you are busy without intelligence. He replied, and he laughed for a long time until Mukunda was also laughing. Leelavati felt even more humiliated. Swamiji asked Janaki if she could tell what was in the preparation. She couldn't, except that it was sweet. He then sent Leelavati downstairs to get Govindadasi and Gaursundar. When they entered, Swamiji told Leelavati, go get some more of the simply wonderful thing. Again this time, in front of the four devotees, Swamiji asked Leelavati, so what is this preparation? And again she defended herself. She had been too busy to notice. And again he laughed until everyone was laughing with him. He then asked Govindasi to taste the simply wonderful and say what was in it. Immediately she guessed sugar, butter and powdered milk. Oh, Swamiji looked at Leelavati. She is an artist. She is intelligent. To Leelavati, the whole episode was a devastating ordeal. Only later did she understand that Swamiji has been trying to teach her humility. Hare Krishna. I think over, no? Finish? 9 o'clock. Srila Prabhupada's, you know, in 11th canto Bhagavatam it is there. Durlabha manushya janma, you know, dehinam kshanabanguram, tatrapi durlabham manye vaikunta priyadarshanam. You know, it's very very difficult to get this human form of life. Even though kshanabanguram, this body is temporary. But more difficult, tatrapi durlabham manye, more difficult than getting a human form of life is vaikunta priyadarshanam, getting the darshan of a pure devotee of the Lord. So all these disciples of Prabhupada, they are very, very fortunate. Very, very fortunate. They could meet Prabhupada. You know, they could, you know, Prabhupada was teaching them cooking. Prabhupada was teaching everything. You know. And there is one verse in 10th canto of Bhagavatam. All these covered boys, you know, what have they, what pious activities they have done that, you know, they are dancing with Krishna. Like that. All the souls who have associated with Prabhupada, you know, what have they done, you know, in their last lives that they could get association of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki Gaur Premanande. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Even now in Bhuvaneshwar temple, they make very nice, simply wonderful. Very nice. There is one Mataji used to be there, take care of Prabhupada. Ho gaya na? Khatam kar diya class. Nartaki Gopal Mataji. That time she was in charge of Prabhupada quarters. So she used to make regularly, simply wonderful. Hare Krishna.